As we lead into Easter, we are talking about the events that happened. And one of those unfortunate events was Judas, the betrayal of Jesus. We have a couple passages we're going to work off of. One is Matthew 26:14-16, which reads, "Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?' So they counted to him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over," him being Jesus, of course. And then Luke 22:1-5. "Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money." In the Matthew passage, we have a "then" at the beginning of verse 14, and we need to look at why that "then" is there, which is Matthew 22, of course, verses 6 through 13, which tells the story of what was the trigger that then sent Judas to betray Jesus. Matthew 22:6-13. "While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as she was reclining at the table." Some of the other gospels tell us who this person was. This was Mary, Lazarus's sister, and also Martha's sister. And Lazarus was the one that Jesus had raised from the dead. "Then the disciples saw this. They were indignant. 'Why this waste?' they asked. 'This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor.' Aware of this, Jesus said to them, 'Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. Then she poured the perfume on my body. She did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, whenever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.'" And here we are again talking about this. For some reason, this was the trigger that led Judas to betray Jesus. But this had been brewing for a long time. John tells us in John chapter 12, verse 6, when John is talking about this same event, that Judas did not say this money could be taken and this money could be used for helping poor people. He didn't say that because he cared about the poor, but because Judas was a thief, as a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So Judas was not actually giving care for the poor people or even the money that had been quote unquote wasted here, but he wanted the money for himself. The fact that Judas betrayed Jesus is one of the most notorious historical events of betrayal in history. The question to me always is, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, is why did Judas betray Jesus? We can only infer from the gospel accounts why he betrayed Jesus. But let's look at who Judas was. Judas is not just some random guy that betrays Jesus. Judas was an apostle. He was one of Jesus' 12 closest friends with Jesus and the other apostles. And in fact, the criteria for an apostle that Peter talks about in Acts chapter 1 is that they have been with us, the rest of the apostles, for the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning at John's baptism. So Judas was not an add-on. Judas was not an extra person. Judas wasn't just some other guy. Judas was actually one of Jesus' apostles and had been with Jesus during the entire time of Jesus' ministry, from when Jesus began his ministry with his baptism by John to this very time. Another thing is Jesus personally called him. So Judas, when the 12 apostles are called, Jesus goes off and he does some prayer and fasting, and then he picks these 12 men that are going to be with him through the entire 3 years of his ministry. And in fact, Jesus calls Judas knowing what he was going to do, which is, again, another crazy thought and possibly another devotional. But in John 6:70-71, Jesus picks Judas and he says about Judas, "I picked you even though you have the devil, or you are a devil." And so Jesus personally, not only is Judas an apostle, but Jesus personally picks him to be one of the 12, even knowing what is going to happen later. And then, of course, we know from the passages we've already discussed that he was the treasurer. He was in charge of the money. So he begins the ministry with them. They begin this ministry. They begin to go about in all of Israel. Jesus is preaching the coming of the kingdom of God. He's leading towards, of course, his eventual death, burial, and resurrection. But throughout all this time, Judas is with him. Judas has witnessed the miracles. Judas has witnessed Jesus healing people. Judas has witnessed the teaching of Jesus. Judas has witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. And Judas has been entrusted to keep the money that the group needs to live on. And we know that none of them had jobs. They all actually all gave up their jobs to follow Jesus, and that they're being supported by donations. So this is the first 501(c) that we see in history, is this this missionary, this missions person that is being supported, and it says by all kinds of different people, not the least being a bunch of rich women that lived in the Judea area that saw Jesus' ministry and wanted to contribute to that. So this money's coming in. It's for Jesus' ministry, and Jesus entrusts it as the head of this ministry, entrusts this money to Judas to do to pay for the different things that they need, for their food, sometimes probably for a place to stay. I imagine their clothes would run out from time to time to get that. And so Judas is in a position of tremendous trust and tremendous love from Jesus. And he's close to not only Jesus, but he's close to the other apostles. He lives with them. He hangs out with them. He sees the things they're going to do. He goes on the ministry trip to do miracles himself. In fact, that's another crazy thing to me, is that Judas, in fact, had done miracles himself, had gone out, had evangelized, had brought people to know Jesus, and had done miracles himself, and had cast out demons, as we see in a couple different passages in the gospel where Jesus sends out his disciples to do these sort of things. So now we know who Jesus was, and he was close to Jesus, and in a very trusted position. We ask again, why did he betray Jesus? When we let things, actual things, money, cars, houses, the things that we accumulate, in Judas's case it was money, and our personal values, what we want, get between us and Jesus, it will, guaranteed, lead to our eventual downfall. Greed appears to be the main motivator for why Judas betrayed Jesus. Not only was he was the group treasurer, as we've talked about, but he's been embezzling funds. We don't know when it started. John just says, oh, by the way, he used to take stuff out of the money pouch for his own stuff whenever he felt like it. So he starts out as a trusted friend and ends up and then becomes a thief. And then from a thief, he becomes a betrayer. And from a betrayer, he ends up actually killing himself because he's so distraught at what happened. So it starts out as a little thing and ends up in Judas's death. In 1 Timothy 6:6-10, Paul talks maybe exactly about Judas' situation, but this is a very apt verse, very apt scripture for Judas' situation. Paul is writing to another minister, and he's given this minister, Timothy, hey, here's some instructions about how to carry on your ministry. And he says in 1 Timothy 6:6-10, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Judas betrays Jesus. He takes the 30 pieces of silver. Jesus gets arrested. And then when he sees that they're going to kill Jesus, he tries to give the money back. And of course, the religious leaders could care less at this point. He's fulfilled his purpose. They don't need him anymore. He's of use to them. And Judas, in fact, in one account, Judas throws the money into the temple. And so the chief priests take the money and they buy a field for it. They're like, yeah, we can't use this money for anything else. And then Judas, so upset, goes out and hangs himself. because he realizes the depth of what he has done, the tremendous evil that he has done. Again, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Greed is a killer. When we get greedy, even to the point of stealing, it reinforces our selfishness and pride. Jesus can't work with selfishness and pride. In fact, God, in many, many places, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, it says in many places in Scripture. God is actively opposed to our pride. He's actively opposed to the things that arise from our pride, such as our grief, our greed. Judas, being cheated in his mind out of an opportunity to steal more money, and for some reason, Mary, one of Jesus' other close friends, wasting in Judas' mind this money, this very expensive perfume, he goes to the religious leaders and asks if they will give him what? Money to betray Jesus. Can't get some money, so he goes to get more money, and then he betrays Jesus. And how can we apply this? What is the application? The application, there's multiple applications here, but the application that I see arising from this story is that we have to be very careful. In fact, we need to flee. We need to run away. We need to search ourselves when we put our own desires above those of Jesus. Because these desires, greed in particular, can lead us down the path to destruction and even to death. Let's pray. Father, as we look at our own lives, let us not be led by greed and by our pride, but let us be led by you. Let our friendship with you be that which motivates us, and that we allow that to take away all the other motivations that we have in our lives. Let us use those things that you give us for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.